was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we're glad that you're here. I'm excited about 150 in Sunday school after last Sunday. I think we'll try again next Sunday and see if we can get back to that 196. But we are very appreciative. When Paul was writing to young Timothy, he reminded him of a promise that he believed in. And that promise is, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that which he has promised or entrusted to me. And so indeed, as we have gathered here to worship this day, would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your presence and for your promises. We are excited that you are with us and you strengthen us day in and day out. And Lord, as today we will come and focus upon who you are and what you will say to us, we are excited that you might say something today and we might hear something today and we might experience something today that would change the rest of our days. And so, Lord, that is our challenge for worship. That is what we hope to accomplish, not in our strength, but in your strength. And God, would you go with us? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'm going up.
Face by leaning on the promises of his grace. I'm going up to his heavenly power, for he is my rock and my Lord.
I'm going up,
to my Savior
when I'm down.
Lifting praise to God, knowing Jesus is lifting me.
I'm going
down to seek his face by leaning on the promises of his grace. I'm going up to his heavenly power, for he is my rock and my Lord.
I'm just a sinner washed in the blood, cleansed by the fountain, healed by his love, leaning on his arms to carry me through.
For Jesus is the mighty King, by his hand I've been redeemed.
I'm going up to him on Glory Avenue. I'm going up, to my Savior when I'm down on my knees. Going up, lifting praise to God, knowing Jesus is lifting me
down
to seek his face by leaning on the promises of his grace. I'm going up to his heavenly power, for he is my rock and my Lord. Oh, there is no problem, too great or small, for Jesus to answer when I call, seeking his guidance and doing his will, praising him all the day long, yet still up to see my Savior when I'm down on my knees. Going up,
lifting praise to God, knowing Jesus is lifting me.
I'm going down
to seek his face by leaning on the promises of his grace. I'm going up to his heavenly power, for he is my rock and my Lord. Yes, he is my rock
and he is my Lord.
Love lifted me.
Love lifted me.
Let's all join in singing now and sing hymn number 411, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Let's stand as we sing, please.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with this time for fellowship and worship in your house. Please be with those that could not be here today, and please be with us as we leave and go our next week until we return to your house again. Please be with those. Please use this offering to further your kingdom. In these things we pray. Amen.
our children up for our little sermon. Come on up. Hey. Okay, we got some new faces today, some visitors. We're glad to have you. Today we're going to talk about God's promises. Anyone ever promised to somebody, made a promise? Yeah. Has anybody ever promised you something? Yes. Promised to give you something? Promised to take you somewhere? Promised to do something for you? Right? Did they keep the promise? Did they keep the promise? How did it make you feel when they kept the promise? They didn't keep it? How'd that make you feel? Not good, huh? Okay. Do you think we should keep our promises? Definitely. We should, shouldn't we? Did you know that God has also made many promises to us? Did you know that? And you know something else? God always keeps his promises. He's not like us. Sometimes we break our promises. And sometimes we're not sure our friend is going to keep it or not. But God's not like that. He always, always keeps his promises. I want to show you a picture of something. I know you've seen this before. What is this? Well, if I can get it open. What do we have here? What is that? Rainbow. What do you think about when you see a rainbow in the sky?
Right on it.
Right on it. Okay, it's beautiful, isn't it? I think when I see one and I'm with other people, we just get so excited when we see a rainbow. We say, oh, look, there's a rainbow. And some people take pictures of the rainbow. Well, let's talk about what this rainbow means. I know that you've heard about Noah and the ark, right? Okay, you know about that. All right, let's read some scripture about the rainbow. And let's see what's in our scripture. It is in Genesis. And I'm going to read you 13 through 16, okay? Listen carefully. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant, which is a promise, between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant or promise between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God promised us that he would never send another flood to destroy all of the earth. So what did he say the sign was to tell us that? And what's the sign? The rainbow. When we look up in the sky and see the rainbow, we know that that's our sign. He's reminding us that he's never going to send a flood to destroy all the earth. God also made other promises to us, just as great. He promised us that he would forgive us. He never breaks that promise. He will forgive us. It's not like today he might forgive us, but tomorrow, no, I'm not going to forgive you. That's not the way God is. He also promised that he would be with us no matter what. How would you feel if you wanted to talk to God and today you could, but tomorrow you couldn't? He wouldn't listen tomorrow. That wouldn't be such a good feeling, would it? But he's always there, today, tomorrow, and the future. When we listen, When we pray, he will listen. Every time you can pray, you can be assured that God is listening to you. How can he listen to the millions of people? Because he's God, isn't he? He also promises us that if we worship him, that we will feel his presence if we want to. If we worship, he will be there. He also made a wonderful promise that we could spend heaven with him, all those who love him and keep his promises. Keep his word. God will never change, so don't worry about it. Sometimes I think I take for granted that God is keeping all those promises. I forget that I am so blessed that he's going to keep his promises. So when you see the rainbow up there in the sky, I want you to think about God, all his promises. Just get excited and remember that he'll keep his promises. Okay? Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for making such wonderful promises to us. Help us to remember how blessed we are, that you'll always be there. You'll always listen to us, and we can spend heaven with you if we love you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, I hope to see you next Sunday. We'll talk about something else.
God has certainly given us many promises, but we have to take advantage of them, just like he gave his life on the cross. Sometimes we live like he never did it, you know, like he never loved us enough to give us his only son for our salvation. There are many promises in the Bible, as you will hear Gary tell you, and as you've heard Martha explain, and wonderful promises. But if we don't come and be a part of his kingdom, then those promises, we let those promises go by the wayside. We don't take advantage of them. And so our song is called, You Can't Stand on Promises. but you can if you're one of God's children, and I hope we all will be, because there are many promises that we can enjoy. Okay.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
You go to church twice on Sunday and make the Wednesday service too. You don't even need a songbook to sing hymn 142.
When you sing
standing on the promises,
you repeat the last four bars.
But you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. You've listened to 1,000 sermons, but never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to walk on water, but you'll never get too far. No, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. If there's a tour to the Holy Land, you'll be the first to go. You give $50 to the mission board and let everybody know.
Your service as an usher outshines the brightest star.
But you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. You've listened to 1,000 sermons but never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to walk on water, but you'll never get too far. No, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
You raised your hand and met the Lord over 20 years ago. But John 3:16 and Psalm 23 are the only verses you know. I can see why things aren't working and why things aren't up to par. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
You've listened to a thousand sermons, but never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to walk on water, but you'll never get too far. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. No, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Lots of truth and lots of songs. Thank you for the Lord. And now let's sing one of the great songs of our faith, Because He Lives, 407. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
You may have noticed that our young people are down here in t-shirts. Stand up, guys, and look at them for just a second. You see on their t-shirts, talks about distractions. It's been our discipleship now, and they have been here all weekend and helped us yesterday at the Bread of Life and have shared several devotions, and we're very proud of you. You may be seated. Thank you for doing that. You look sharp. You look sharp all the time, but especially when you all match. Maybe we ought to have a dress code that you all wear the same thing from now on. No, okay. Well, I just had a thought. It probably needs further thinking, but we are delighted for you. We'll be sharing a little bit more at the end of the service about D now, but we are grateful for them. Let me invite you to look in your bulletin at our prayer concerns, and there are some reports I would like to share with you about some of these. You'll see Irene's name is on our list, and she's here with us, but she will be having eye surgery, I believe, tomorrow morning. And also, you'll notice Sarah McGeehee's name is on this list. Sarah also will be having major surgery at Chapel Hill tomorrow morning. We ask that you would keep her lifted up in your prayers. Steve Cotton will be having orthoscopic surgery on his knee this coming Friday. We want to keep him lifted up. And Robert Hoffman had surgery this past week, double knee replacement. He is currently at Westfield doing rehab there. We want to continue to keep him lifted up in our prayers as he goes through that process of recouping. You'll see many other names. We have Miss Lucy Thomas and Mr. Wayne Brooks, who are over at Sanford Rehab. We want to keep them lifted up as well. Pray with me. Lord, sometimes when I sing the hymns of our faith that I have sung so many times, their familiarity just becomes motion for me to go through. But today I was captured by the last verse of Because You Live. And when he talked about when life's final war with pain is over and death gives way to victory, and I see the lights of glory, and I'll know my faith was not in vain because you live. What a powerful message. What a tremendous truth. And God, as we live as people of faith in that truth, we have a list of names that are before us and others maybe who aren't on this list but are on our heart and on our mind right now. And God, you know their need. And you have promised us that because you live, your grace is sufficient for all our need. And oh God, we hold on to that promise. We ask, oh God, that you might bless where there is the need of blessing in some special way, whether that be through comfort, whether that be through healing, whether that be through mercy. Oh God, you know our need. Make us mindful of who you are in our midst, that we might indeed proclaim to the world without distractions, because you live, we can face tomorrow. Be with us now as we continue to lift your name above every name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. A sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And thank for the Lord for singing for us today. It's always good to hear them sing, and it's always good to have some family back with us, and good to see Wes and Nicole and Leonard and Elaine. Today our word is going to be promises. Hannah and Kendall keep a log of how many significant words I say. I was wondering how many times I could get super fragilistic Caledocious in a sentence. It might be hard for them, so I won't do that very much. Significant words, and today our significant word is promises. The promises of God. I'm going to read a text that if you stop where you might think I'm going, you'll be partly right. But probably not all the way right. It's a passage that we often refer to folks and to our young people to say, be careful who you give your heart to. Don't be unevenly yoked. It's a tremendous truth because next to one's relationship with God, who we choose in other relationships are our most significant decisions. They shape us more than anything else. Not just who we marry or whether we marry, but who we associate with. I can remember as a child being told that birds of a feather flock together and tell me who you run with and I can tell you who you are. There are truths in all of those old adages. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth that has been inundated with false teachers. I'm glad that in 2016 there's no false teachings. Aren't you glad of that? That everything on TV is exactly true. And everything on the internet is exactly true. And every politician tells you nothing but the truth, the whole truth, so help him or her God. Brothers and sisters, I would argue there is more false teaching today than ever in history. And there are more opportunities for us to worship at idol altars than ever before. And we must guard our heart and stand on those promises. And for the Lord was right, we can't stand on promises. We don't know what they are. And also we need to know what's true and what's untrue. And that takes energy and time. In God's word, with God's people, doing as God has instructed us. If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin to read in verse 14 with that powerful statement that I've already mentioned. And we're going to end in chapter 7, verse 1. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Listen to this question. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, or the devil, the Satan, we might say? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from the midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us clearly about our walk with you, about the hope we have as disciples that we can stand on your promises if we follow what your promises teach us to do. Guide our thinking in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we already know that promises are important. Sometimes we love loopholes, don't we? Two brothers were about to boil eggs when one had that thought that only brothers might have. He said to his brother, he said, "You know, last week I got a $100 bill for my birthday. And I tell you what I'm willing to do. If you will let me break three of these eggs before we boil them over the top of your head, I'll give you that $100 bill." Well, it didn't take him long to decide that he could quickly get in the shower. $100 is $100. And so he said, "Absolutely." So they walked outside, and the brother took the first egg and cracked it right on the front of his head. So it would just, you know, run all down in his eyes and a little in his mouth. And then he took the second egg and went right in the top of his head. And he cracked that one, and it ran all down in his hair and down in his back. And then he took the third egg and started back toward the house. His brother said, "That's only two. You said three." He says, "Yeah, but this last one would cost me $100. I ain't doing this one." Loopholes. That wasn't the deal. We know the deal. Do we ever sometimes say to God, "If you'll do this, God, I'll do this"? Promises. They're important. There's great security and peace when we live in God's promises. Promises that when He is our God and we are His people, when we are walking the path that He walks, when we are doing godly things, we find that peace. We find that security. And it is as though God has placed in a believer a disciple's heart a compass, a way of knowing when the needle's not pegging in the right direction. It is in God's promises that we find our hope and our purpose. And yet maybe today there would be one of us here who would honestly say, "I'm not sure I have been standing on God's promises." Well, quickly, for just a moment or two, I want us to understand that when we stand on the promises of God, not only do we find hope, but we also find purpose, and we also find profit. Promise of partnerships that profit. That's what He teaches us in these verses in 14. He says, "Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for you have a partnership." If you do that, if you yoke yourself, the image was that of two oxen standing side by side with one yoke over each of their shoulders, pulling the same way, working the same way, in essence, for all that day, living the same way. And He tells us that we must make important choices about who and how we associate with people. Now, I think I need to say something before I say something else. I need to say that God knows that we need to be in the midst of a world of people who are not all equal spiritually. They don't all love the Lord. They don't all have the right relationship. And if we take this promise too far, and sometimes cults take this promise way too far, and they say we need to come all the way out of the world and we need to live and associate just with ourselves, that's not what he's saying at all. But he's saying, be careful who you give your heart to. He's saying, be careful who you connect your business to. Be careful who you decide to give the access of the major influence of your life to. For if we are really going to be people of God, standing on God's promises, then we will associate with others who stand beside us. How can I stand beside you on the promises of God if you're not going to stand on the promises of God? One of us has to move. And most often, if our faith's not strong enough, and sometimes for the best and most noble of reasons, we move to wrong places. It takes discipline to maintain a strong connection. We all know that relationships shape us and make us who we are. If you were about to build a house and there were people in the community, I remember when I lived in Beaufort, there was a builder. I won't tell you his name. You might know it. Maybe if you got a place at the coast, he may have built your house. But they said that he could take a pound and a half of nails and build a house, a whole house. That's not many nails, okay? Let me tell you, that's not many nails. And folks would say that, you know, later on they might be doing something and they might go over and take a piece of paneling that they thought it looked secure, and with one little tug, not only did that piece of paneling come down, but the next four came down with it. And many people began to say, if you're going to build a house, and I almost said his name, don't use this builder. You don't want him. I had a friend in my church that used him. And he said, I stayed on the work side every day. And every time I walked in, I said, would y'all mind putting a couple more nails right there? Would you put a few more nails right here? I think a few more nails right here might be good. But the point is this. Would you want a person that you knew was going to do shoddy work to build your house? Then why in the world would we want to build our life with someone who doesn't understand the love of our life, which is our Lord and our God? The Bible warns us that when we become involved with people who don't share God's promises, it's unprofitable. But when we do, we will indeed gain increase. I just wonder, it comes down to what motivates us in this world. There are some people that if you say no, they're going to do yes. Are you that way? You tell them they can't and they'll show you they can. You say don't do that and they'll do it. Oh, I can remember as a young person, dares. I don't know what y'all call them now, but I bet they're still there. And sometimes that pressure that comes to do maybe something we know we shouldn't do, we've got to be careful, because the promise of partnerships that profit us are those partnerships that when we follow them, we understand. There's a great old story. It's actually a Jewish folklore story. It's not a true story. It's a make-believe story, but it's one of those stories that might teach us. It shows us how when we walk correctly, when we walk with God, when we walk by God's standards, when we understand that God is in control of our life, not only does it bless us, but it blesses others. The story is, way back before the temple had ever been built, that there were two brothers. And they farmed together, and they shared equally in all the work. So if they got 100 bags of grain, then 50 went to one brother and 50 went to the other. And this went on for some time until one of the brothers began to think to himself, because one of the brothers was married and had many children, and the other brother was single and lived alone. And it was indeed the brother that lived alone that began to think about things. And he said, you know, it's not really fair that we distribute the grain the way we're doing it. My brother, whom I love, has so many more mouths to feed than I do. It's just me alone. And I have more than enough. And so he decided, this is what I will do. Every night at the end of the day, I'll go to my storehouse next to my brother's, and I will grab a bag, and I will carry it in the back door and put it in his storehouse. Unbeknownst to him, the other brother was sitting thinking to himself, you know, it's really not fair. It's not fair at all for my brother and I to split the things evenly, because I have many children. And in my old age, my children will take care of me. But my brother, he has no one to look after him. And so he needs to make as much profit as he can now, in order that in his old age, he'll be able to provide for himself. So this is what I'll do. I'll go every night into my storehouse, and I will take a bag of our grain, and I'll go in the front door, and I'll put it in his storage house. For weeks and weeks, in the middle of the night, the two brothers, one going in the back door, the other in the front door, were carrying the grain. And they were amazed, because each day when they came back, they realized their grain was not depleted. Until one day it happened that their paths in the night crossed, and they told the story of why. And they embraced. And the legend says that God blessed that embracement, and God blessed that very ground, where those two brothers demonstrated brotherly love. And it said that years later, Solomon would build the temple of the Lord on that ground. Now, that's just a legend. But doesn't that teach us something about how God wants us to treat others, how we are to be in profitable relationships where we're loved exactly as we love, and that is godly? Not only do we have the promise of partnerships for a profit, we have the promise of God, his presence that prepares us. In verses 16b and following, we find this powerful, powerful statement. We are the temple of the living God. And it goes on to quote the Old Testament passage, and I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, this Old Testament promise is now being applied by Paul to us, to the church. Therefore, go out from their midst and separate yourselves, the Lord says. If this is true, everything will be different if he is our God. Is God our God? Is God our God? Oh, let me ask it again. Is God our God? You see, when God is our God, we're not. Let me say that again. When God is our God, we are not our God. No longer will I stand and say, this is mine, and this is what I do, and this is what I've achieved, and this is how I'll make decisions. But instead, now I'll stand and say, by the grace of God I stand, by the power of God I do, and for the presence of God I live. Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How powerful statement. If this is true, if God is our God, if we make God our God, then it changes how we'll go to work tomorrow, how we'll go to school tomorrow. It'll change how we go home today. It will change how we deal with one another. It'll determine our choices. But the opposite is also true. If God is not our God, and all we do is come and pay homage, that song, that For the Lord song, about all the things you can do just going through the motions, and they don't really have any significance. But when God is our God and we do what we do as unto the Lord, then that makes all the difference. Strong relationships are what we need. And God says, I want you to mirror your relationship with me in your relationship with others. That might be the most important question that I could ask us today. Are we mirroring our relationship with God in our relationship with others? Remember what Jesus said when he was asked, what's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all, and then your neighbor as yourself. The two relationships, our God relationship and our earthly relationship. You see, we need to understand, and this is how our world has just become toxic. This past week, I have every quarter exterminators come by the house, and I have discovered that I have mice in my outbuilding. We call it the blue building now. Have you noticed why we call it the blue building? You might not see my house, but if you look hard, you'll see that blue building in the back. That's another discussion about my wife choosing colors, and she's not here to defend herself. But in the blue building, I noticed that we had mice, and so I asked. I didn't know if my contract would go that far. And he said, "Oh yeah, I've got some bait. I'll be glad to do that for you." So we walked out, and he put two baits out there. And then he told me something that maybe because my mind was on this sermon and on relationships and not being unevenly or unequally yoked, he said, the bait that I'm putting in these traps is so potent that even if they eat a little and decide they don't like it, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. How much of the world do you need to nibble on before it's too late? How much of the world do we need to invite into our thought and into our thinking before it begins to contaminate not only our thinking, but our relationship with God. And not only our relationship with God, but our relationship with others. That's why God said you need healthy relationships. That's why the church, that's why you and I, we are vitally important. This is not optional. Not in this world. It never has been optional. Christ didn't die to give us the option of being a part of the church. He died for his church. And he understood that we needed to come together and we needed to love each other and we needed to care for each other and we needed to hold each other accountable and we needed to challenge each other and we needed to pick each other up when we fail and we needed to love each other with a godly kind of love because he understood that we needed each other's presence to experience his presence. Finally, this morning, I love what he says in 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. To be cleansed by God and purified is the hope of every person. What does it mean for God to clean us up? When God cleans us up, he removes the action from our desires. I want you to hear that. The action from our desires. Will we still be tempted? Oh, sure. Today, before you get out of here. But yes, he removes the action. When we allow him to cleanse us, he cleanses the guilt from previous mistakes. He cleanses the power of sin to dominate and cause our life to deteriorate. He cleanses us to make us clean enough to come into his presence. When God makes us pure, we're pure indeed. With this type of cleansing, We see life differently. We see our purpose differently. We see each other differently. Oh, I love the hymn that says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." The hope of the promise that you and I have, as Leonard said as he introduced that song, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sin. When we yoke our life to Him and then yoke our life to each other, not just being a church member, but being yoked, being connected at a deeper level, that your family matters to my family, that my family matters to your family. Oh, I thank God that we have that kind of church. The promises of God, they make all the difference. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment when we stand on promises, there may be someone here today who needs your forgiveness, who needs your grace, who needs your recommitment to their life as they recommit their life to you, oh God. Because they know what needs to be done. Oh Lord, thank you for your promise that was set out so perfectly in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. And in just a moment, we're going to be making those final decisions about what you've said to us today. May we say them clearly in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn is page 410. "It Is Well With My Soul." This morning, if it isn't, it can be. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some choice for Him, would you do so as we stand together? Just 1 second. We won't be long, I promise. Sandy, there you are. Get this one on for her, please.
I really hope you forgot.
No, I didn't forget.
He asked me to come up this morning and talk to you a little bit about Disciple Now and what we did. First off, thanks to the host James. The Harrises came in for us at the last minute because we had more kids than we thought, so that was a wonderful blessing to have, and they saved us on that one. The Walker family and the Griffins, and then we kept some at my house as well. Great group of kids, had about 20 kids participate. Our focus was obviously distractions and trying to get the kids to think about what things, in life, everything is pulling you one direction or another. And they're either pulling you towards God or they're pulling you away from God. And we were able to talk about friendships and relationships with other people, and I think it was a great time for them. I encourage you to ask them questions. They won't like that, but and they can tell you about it because they did a great job with that. Bread of Life was very powerful for a lot of these guys. It's something when you see that, you know, you're working with people here in Sanford that you see sometimes on a daily basis or you've seen before, versus going somewhere to Kentucky or something where it's people that you don't know. So it was a powerful experience for some of them. Youth choir was amazing. And several other people sang as well, and Bread of Life really enjoyed it. They were clapping and singing with us, and it was really nice. Anything I left out, guys, you want to add? If you ever get a chance to host, please take that opportunity. I know it's awkward, but it lets you see, even I got to know the kids on a different level when they actually come into your home and they stay with you. Just to see how they actually will look out for each other and how they do kind things for each other. And you know, David and Kim, like I said, you know, you guys were so kind to come in at that last minute and when we needed one more home, because we had a lot more boys than we thought we would. And so just being able to see the kids and get to know them on that level. So please, if next year, hopefully we'll do it again. And if you guys are asked to host, please seriously pray about it and consider it, because it's a wonderful experience and they're a great group of kids. So very blessed.
Let me invite you and encourage you to continue to remember these three rows in your prayers. They have some very unique challenges, and they are very special people that bless our church in so many ways, and they did a tremendous job this weekend. Very proud of them. Very quickly, this Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. There will be a gathering at City Hall on Weatherspoon at 12 noon. If you can't get to that one, I bet there's somewhere around. If you go to the Day of Prayer, Google that, you can find a spot. I plan to be there at noon at our City Hall. Tonight, we're going to be showing War Room 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. If you haven't seen it, or if you have, it's a powerful movie. It's a Christian movie. It was in the theaters. We have bought the rights to be able to show it legally here, and we're going to do that tonight. And we may show it more than once, but tonight, get on the phone and invite folks to come be a part of that. We're going to have a good time together. And it's a powerful, powerful emphasis and reminder of how God is still at work through war rooms or prayer rooms, and how they can make a tremendous difference. Next Sunday, our personnel committee is going to be bringing to us an intern for the summer, a youth and children's intern. I hope you'll come be a part of that. The grief recovery sign-up sheets are there. Please remember, and I need help on Friday, May the 13th, with donors for our blood drive. And this afternoon is our Awana Awards Banquet. And also there's an announcement here about the prayer walk. A lot going on. Thank you for all you do in so, so many ways. And I want to echo my thanks to all those who made Disciple Now an important weekend.
Also, thank Rebecca Jackson for coming in.
Yes, she was our speaker during our devotion on Friday night. And did a great job. She sure did. So. Y'all got anything else you want to talk about? Y'all want to go home? I don't think it's raining anymore. I thought about the thunder and then the rainbow. And I thought, well, that's good. God's good all the time. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here. Tonight is 6:30. I hope you're all here. Invite somebody. And I'll tell you, this would be a wonderful evangelistic outreach. Say, hey, we're going to show a movie that was in the theater at our church. Free. Come on down. A wonderful thing to do, and I believe it could make a tremendous difference in marriages, in homes, in lives. So I really want to encourage you to be a part of that. Now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people of promise in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, it has been good to be in Your house today. Go with us now as we go into Your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Love of Jesus.